You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going to continue here in Amos. We got to Amos chapter 8 and verse 1. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day, saith the Lord God. There shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth with silence. Hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord has sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. Shall not the land tremble for this, and every one mourn that dwelleth therein? It shall rise up wholly as a flood, and it shall be cast out and drowned as by the flood of Egypt. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon, and I will darken the earth in the clear day. And I will turn your feasts into mourning, and all your songs into lamentation. And I will bring up sackcloth upon all loins, and baldness upon every head. And I will make it as the mourning of an only son, and the end thereof as a bitter day. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing of the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst, they that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up. Do we have it? You can go from church to church, and there's a famine. I'll tell you, the preacher gets paid, you know, once a week to go up there and give a sermon, and very few of them open up the book. They got fairly, really, really good sounding sermons. Oh, he gives a good sermon, and they'll throw a few scripture verses in there. And then you go out in the world and the public fool school system and all over their media, and there is a famine for the word of God, because they've taught that they've ruled God. They've overruled God and said that he doesn't belong in the public sphere. And the word of God is nothing but old fables. It's just about in every household in America, the book is there, neglected, on a shelf, under a pile of dust, in a drawer, in a box in the garage, a thing for yard sales. And I will turn your feasts into mourning. Yes, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. You know, and go, how many Bible programs are on the air right now? And I'll bet you for every Bible program, if we could add them all up, and say there were 100 people listening to Bible programs, no, there'd be 10 million listening to everything else. So is there a famine? Not for food, but for hearing. That's what it says. But of hearing the words of the Lord. The famine is self-imposed. People don't want to hear the words of the Lord. And I don't ever expect to be popular. And you go over to some of these sermon places, they aren't even speaking the word of the Lord anymore. There's a few on there, but most of them aren't. They got fanciful sermons. They're going for ratings, whatever. Or they're teaching about Nephilim and Left Behind and other things. Or how about the prosperity gospel? And what else do we have? The prosperity gospel. And what is the other one? The prosperity-driven. It's the other one. I can't even think of it. Purpose-driven. User-friendly. Yeah. You want to get the people in. That's the only important thing, is to get them in. We don't want to say things that will offend people and make them go away. Like, we don't want to say the word of the Lord. You know, they don't want to hear that. You heard, repent, for the kingdom is at hand, you sinners. You know, stop your sinning. Learn obedience. Oh, no, that'll make people go away. Wives, obey your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. They don't want to hear that. That's not the message they want to hear. Put off your idolatry. Stop your violence. It says, they shall wander from sea to sea, and from north even to the east, and they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day shall the fair virgins and the young men faint for thirst. They that swear by the sin of Samaria, and say, thy God, O Dan, liveth, and the manor of Beersheba liveth, even they shall fall and never rise up again. Well, of course, I can't explain exactly what those two last verses mean. I'm sure it was more specific to the time. But I would say we have a famine of hearing. The word is out there, but nobody wants to listen to it. They would rather hear the words of the popular prophets of the day. They flock to hear about the Nephilim, and they flock to hear about Left Behind and how they're going to escape judgment. Don't worry about that. Mm-mm. Yeah, we know it's coming. You see, everything's changing, but don't worry. Don't worry about it. Just keep living your life. God wants you to be happy until he takes you out of the way so that he can judge everyone else, of course. All those that are left behind because they don't believe in the rapture. I wonder if you have to believe in the rapture to go in it. Yeah, I doubt it. I don't think anybody's going in a rapture. So I'm still looking for it in the scripture, and nobody's able to show it to me. That's kind of funny. Nobody's willing to show it to me. No one wants to show me the gap either. Amos chapter 9. This is the final chapter of Amos. Amos continuing. I saw the Lord standing upon the altar, and he said, smite the lintel of the door, that the posts may shake, and cut them in the head, all of them, and I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. See, that's what people think. They think they're going to escape because they hold a certain doctrine. They have allowed themselves to be self-deceived. They don't search the word. They're not like Bereans searching it out for themselves, going, well, this doesn't quite add up. They're just accepting. And why are they accepting? Because they don't have to change. The law of God is nailed to the cross. They can continue to live in the manner that they're accustomed to living, as long as they sing nice songs and they enjoy the feast days and, you know, of the Easter eggs and the Halloweens and whatever, all those things that they celebrate out there from their Babylonian pagan religions, and they Christianize them, or they canonize them, you know, kind of like the Pope. He makes it all right. That's right. And now, don't worry about a thing. You're going to be raptured out before anything bad happens. The death of our hope. That's what I call the rapture. They have three raptures, you know, and I call them the three steps in the death of the resurrection, because that's what I believe that the enemy has done with the rapture, the belief in the rapture. He's given people three raptures to believe in, And usually everyone will take a position. Well, I'm pre-tribulation. Oh, I'm a mid-tribulation. And, oh, post-tribulation, that's me. So they believe in one of those raptures. So they've taken the resurrection, they've relegated to three raptures, which are all false. And when they happen, everyone's going to go, well, golly, I guess there is no resurrection. I guess the Antichrist is right. We have to make heaven here on earth. He is the vicar of Christ. God's replacement on earth must be true. Well, let's get to it. The new social order. And anyone who doesn't comply, off with their heads. Makes sense to me. Yeah. Supposed to build the kingdom on earth. And of course, we have to use force to do that. Those people that won't comply, why, they're just, you know, they're the enemies of God. Of course, our Lord God, the Pope. That's right. Whoever he is that sits in the seat of the vicar of Christ at the time is, you know, God's replacement on earth. That's what it means. Vicar of Christ. Anti-Christ. His replacement. So I saw the Lord standing, and everyone thinks they're going to flee away and escape. I will slay the last of them with the sword. He that fleeth of them shall not flee away, and he that escapeth of them shall not be delivered. Though they dig into hell. Oh, wow. Though they dig into hell. And these doctrines come from hell. They're digging into hell. I mean, literally. These doctrines are doctrines of demons. All this false eschatology, as it was recorded in Ezekiel, the wall of false prophets, they're digging into hell. That's where they come up with this stuff. They dig in hell. Though they dig into hell, thence shall mine hand take them, though they climb up to heaven. You know, they want to go to heaven when they die, right? Thence will I bring them down. A lot of people, you know, trying to escape. Oh, they just, all they want is the rapture. Or they'd want to die. Oh, wish the Lord would take me today and I don't have to deal with all this anymore. They're trying to hide themselves from the face of him, from the wrath of the Almighty. Though they dig into hell, thence shall my hand take them. Though they climb up to heaven, thence will I bring them down. Though they hide themselves in the top of Carmel, I will search and take them thence. And though they be hid from my sight in the bottom of the sea, thence will I command the serpent, and he shall bite them. No place to run, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. And though they go into captivity before their enemies, thence will I command the sword, and it shall slay them. And I will set mine eye upon them for evil and not for good. Now, who's he talking about? Well, he's talking about the 90 of 100, not the remnant. He's not talking about the 100 of 1,000 that would repent. He's not talking about the remnant. He's talking about those who would not turn back, who will not repent, who refuse to withdraw from sin, who refuse to allow the fruit of repentance to work in their lives and learn obedience to the Almighty. That's who he's talking about. And the Lord God of hosts is he that toucheth the land, and it shall melt, and all that dwell therein shall mourn, and it shall rise up wholly like a flood, and shall be drowned as by the flood of Egypt. It is he that buildeth his stories in the heavens, and hath founded his troop in the earth, and that calleth for the waters of the sea, and poureth them out upon the face of the earth. Yahuwah is his name. Are you not as children? Are you not as children of the Ethiopians unto me, O children of Israel? Saith the Lord, have not I brought up Israel out of the land of Egypt, and the Philistine from Kaphtor, and the Syrians from Kir? Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon the sinful kingdom, and I will destroy it from off the face of the earth, saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. For lo, I will command, and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations, like as corn is sifted in a sieve, yet shall not the least grain fall upon the earth. All the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or prevent us. There it is. There's the warning to the church. Yes, my people today. Let's apply that. All the sinners of my people. You call yourself a Christian? You belong to one of his churches out here? You call yourself one of his people? He says, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or nor prevent us. Certainly we'll be raptured out. Oh, it doesn't matter. I can sin and I can still go to heaven when I die. Yeah, remember what Jesus said? Repent. So you can go to heaven when you die. Oh, wait a minute. He never said that. I heard that at the corner church. Yeah. They said, say the magic words. Just believe, and you'll get to go to heaven when you die. And they take a verse here and a verse there, and they add it all up together to deceive you, because there is an enemy behind the deception that says, once saved, always saved. But what if you were never really saved? What if the fruit of repentance never shows forth in your life, and the fruit of the Spirit never comes to any of your branches? You know a tree by its fruit, don't you? 7 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. We ought to be able to look and see something going on there. Something should be happening. If it isn't, and you're living on the once saved, always saved doctrine and counting on that false assurance of salvation, you're in big trouble. You're going to be in big trouble. Because he says, all the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or prevent us. You think, oh, the Lord will lead me in that day. That's what they think. They think, oh, I'm led by the Spirit. Yet they haven't even learned obedience. They continue in their adulteries and their fornications, and they continue in their lack of self-control. They continue in it. And they think that somehow, when the evil day comes, that the Almighty is going to be able to lead them out of it. But they have not even learned to hear his voice. They have not practiced obedience. How do they think they're going to hear him when the day comes? They're going to be in for a big surprise. All the sinners of my people, quit. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. No, wait a minute. I was a sinner. I was saved by grace. Now I walk in his righteousness. I put off sin. I repent of that evil. I'm crucifying the deeds of the flesh. I am carrying the cross of the Messiah. That's what it means. We crucify the deeds of the flesh. That's what it means when he said, take up your cross and follow me. That's what he meant. That means we're going to see the things that we used to do that were against his law. We're no longer doing them because we've crucified the deeds of the flesh. We've nailed those to the cross by his righteousness imputed to us. He gives us the power to overcome. We are overcomers. What have we overcome? The law of sin and death. We've learned obedience. So if you're learning obedience now, the fruit of repentance, the fruit of the Spirit is evident in your life. Yes, then you know. You have that assurance when the day of the Lord comes that you will hear his voice and be led by his Spirit. Come what may. Don't be one of the, all of the sinners of my people shall die by the sword, which say the evil shall not overtake or prevent us. In the day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen. We're continuing here in Amos chapter 9, verse 11. He says, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen and close up the breaches thereof. And I will raise up his ruins and I will build as it as in the days of old. that they may possess the remnant of Edom, and all the heathen which are called by my name, saith the Lord, that doeth this. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him that soweth seed, and the mountains shall drop sweet wine, and all the hills shall melt, and I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel, and they shall build the waste cities and inhabit them, and shall plant vineyards and drink the wine thereof, and they shall also make the gardens and eat the fruit of them. And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of it, their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord God. Well, what does this prophecy mean? Does this mean that he's going to reestablish Israel of old? No, because he gives us the key here. He says the tabernacle of David. This is completely fulfilled in Messiah and will continue to be fulfilled in Messiah. It is only by his blood that we are saved. It is only by his blood that his righteousness may be imputed to us. It is only by the power of his blood that we can learn obedience by having his law written upon our minds and our hearts so that we desire to please him because it is in us to do it. That's what the new life is. It is in us. We are born again. A seed, the seed of the Spirit, is planted, and it is the seed of the Messiah. It is the seed of the woman. It is one seed, and it's in us. And the evidence that it is in us is that true desire to live our life in a way that's pleasing to him. Repent. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Cross the border into his kingdom and live forever. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, that is more important. You've been listening to Cross the Border. Visit my website, crosstheborder.org. I would like to hear from you. Go to the contact page there and just say hi. I'm listening, whatever. Let me know you're out there. I'll see you next time on Cross the Border. Bless his holy name. Hallelujah.